Welcome back. We continue with Racial Apartheid by the great Peter Tosh. The man who is accused of killing him was convicted on this day. We are here with Representative G.K. Butterfield, who represents North Carolina's district in House Representative, Chairman of the Congressional Black Caucus. Congresswoman Carolyn Maloney is with us from New York, ranking Democrat in the Joint Economic Committee, and our own Congressman Elijah Cummings. Good to have the three of you with us here on the Mark Steiner Show.
Thank you.
We're thrilled to be with you.
410-319-8888 is the number here. Tweet us at Mark Steiner. Send us emails at talk@steinershow.org, but do call in if you can, 410-319-8888. Elijah, always good to hear your voice in the air with us. So tell us about this meeting taking place Tuesday, but more importantly about what this agenda is that you and people like Congressman Maloney have put together.
Well, thank you. This is Congressman Butterfield, Chairman.
Oh, great. Welcome. I didn't know you were there. Good to have you here. Yes.
Just want to identify myself. This is Congressman G.K. Butterfield. I chair the Congressional Black Caucus. 46 African-Americans who serve in the United States Congress, representing 30 million people. I'm happy to announce that on tomorrow we will conduct a public forum in the city of Baltimore in conjunction with the Joint Economic Committee led by Congresswoman Carolyn Maloney of the state of New York. We're going to present a public forum entitled The American Dream on Hold, Economic Challenges in the African-American Community. Starts at 9:30 tomorrow morning and will go until 12 noon. It will be at the University of Baltimore, Learning Commons there on Maryland Avenue in Baltimore. Congressman Elijah Cummings has invited us to come into Baltimore to have a healthy conversation about where we are with economic inequality. We've done the research on Baltimore, and the statistics are absolutely are appalling. We all saw the civil unrest that took place in Baltimore a few weeks ago after the senseless murder of Frederick Gray. But the Congressional Black Caucus and the Joint Economic Committee have been very quick to say that this issue is deeper and wider than that single incident. It's all rooted in persistent poverty in urban communities. And the Joint Economic Committee has done extensive research, and we will share much of that with the community tomorrow and invite a conversation on the issue. But 14.8% is the unemployment rate for African-Americans in Baltimore. That's 2.5 times the rate for whites in Baltimore. The median income for African-American households is $34,000. It's $63,000 for whites in Baltimore. On the subject of poverty, more than 1 in 4 African-Americans, 27%, in Baltimore live in poverty. That is absolutely unacceptable, and we're going to face and challenge this issue head on. We want input from the community. We have stakeholders in the community who will participate on the panel. We are encouraging all of our listeners to please come out and join the Joint Economic Committee and the Congressional Black Caucus as we have this honest dialogue about persistent poverty in urban communities.
Congressman Maloney, please join us here with, this, with your thoughts and your involvement with this and what you're looking for here.
I think that we all believe that a broad and open discussion is central to finding answers and resolving problems, and that's why the Congressional Black Caucus, led by Congressman Butterfield, and the Joint Economic Committee Democrats are holding a public forum tomorrow morning in Elijah's district at the University of Baltimore to examine why African Americans face such daunting economic hurdles and how these hurdles can be lowered. I am the ranking member on the Joint Economic Committee, and I instructed the staff to do a report on the economic challenges facing the black community in America. And our report found a number of stark and deeply disturbing facts about black unemployment, income, and wealth that speaks to the broad, persistent, and historic inequities between the races. And here are a few of our findings. Congressman Butterfield was talking about Baltimore specific, which we want to focus on because of the challenges there. But I'm going to talk about generally in America. What our report found that black Americans are almost 3 times more likely to live in poverty than white Americans. And at 10.1%, the current unemployment rate for black Americans is double the rate for white Americans. And the median income of African-American households is 34,000, nearly 24,000 less than the median income of white households at 58,000. So that's the equivalent to a full year's tuition at the University of Maryland, including housing, meal plan, books, and you name it.
So
black Americans currently face an unemployment rate that is higher than the national unemployment rate ever reached during the recent recession. And the median net worth, I think this is the most really disturbing, the median net worth of white households is 13 times greater than for black households, and that already large racial gap has grown even wider since the recession. So even though we're doing better economically, the gap between the haves and the have-nots is not narrowing, it's continuing to grow. So we did this report, and the Congressional Black Caucus, we did a press conference on it. And one of the things that really struck me at that press conference is practically every single member had an idea of what to do to make progress in correcting it. And I think what we need is to be inspired and have the political will to act on many of these proposals that Congressman Butterfield and Elijah Cummings and others have put forward. And I look forward to learning more. But I also look forward to having specific goals. We want to raise, you know, the minimum wage and some of these other general ideas, but they had specific ideas of how to help the black American community. And I think we should come together and work together so that the American dream can be shared by everyone. Thank you for having me on the show.
I'm glad you're with us, Congresswoman. Now, we're also joined by Congressman Cummings. Elijah, good to have you with us.
And I also want to thank my colleagues, Congressman Butterfield, who's the chairman of Congressional Black Caucus, and of course, Carolyn Maloney, the ranking member of the Joint Economic Committee. I want to thank both of them for their leadership and for joining us today and joining us tomorrow.
So let me ask you, let me start with you, Congressman Cummings. Now, two quick questions here before we, before the bottom of the hour. What are the specific, I know what you're looking for, what are the specifics you think can be implemented to change what we're facing?
Well, one
we all
thing,
know what it is. I mean, what do we do to change it?
Yeah, well, one of the things we've got to do is we got Congressman Clyburn, South Carolina, our assistant leader, and certainly Congressman Butterfield have been pushing a plan to bring more of the federal resources into more distressed areas like Baltimore so that you can create the jobs. In other words, targeted resources. And we need to do things like that instead of scattering. First of all, we're in this period of austerity. It seems as if the Republican colleagues want austerity as their middle name. But we're in a time where we've got a lot of people who cannot get a job. And so, you know, we want to look at things like infrastructure and but bring resources into the city. And keep in mind, one of the reasons why both Ranking Member Maloney and Chairman Butterfield are concentrating on this is because we realize that it's not just Baltimore. It's the entire country that and areas in the entire country that have the same kind of problems. But that's one thing that can be done. Of course, the minimum wage is a very important thing, too. People have to be able to make a living. I've said it many times to you, my friend, is that we will not be able to address America's problems unless we address the thing of two things, education and joblessness. And so, again, that's one of the things that that we could definitely do.
So, you know, I this is a huge issue here, and people are trying to wrestle with what do you do with unemployment, and especially in the black community here in Baltimore and across the country. And some people might say, Congressman Butterfield, it's time for us to stop thinking in the same old ways. I keep thinking over and over again of President Barack Obama when he opened relations with Cuba, saying we can't keep making the same mistakes we've made for the last 50 years and expect progress. And it seems to me it's the same thing. We keep saying these same things, but we have to find a way to to do something that's really kind of, I think, radically different if we're going to address the situation.
Without question, it is now time for action as never before. Often I go back, Mark, and look at President Johnson's State of the Union message right after he assumed the presidency, and he declared a war on poverty. He said in that speech, many Americans live on the outskirts of hope, some because of their poverty, some because of their color, but all too many because of both. Our task is to help reduce their despair with opportunity. That is our challenge today, to try to legislate to replace despair with opportunity. We want our good-thinking brothers and sisters all across America, black, white, and brown, to not just be embarrassed about these statistics, but positively engaged in the future. Congressman Cummings made reference to persistent poverty communities. There are 384 counties in the United States of America, Baltimore County included, Baltimore City included, that has had a poverty rate greater than 20% for more than 30 years, and if truth be told, for more than 100 years. And so the Congressional Black Caucus wants the Congress to legislate, and we want the President of the United States to use his executive powers to direct federal funding into persistent poverty communities so that we can deal with bringing educational systems into the 21st century, building safe and affordable housing for our low-income communities, to try to create job and job opportunities and raise the minimum wage. We've got to legislate. And so I'm challenging all of my legislative colleagues, and they're challenging me. We've got to become proactive, and we've got to think outside of the box. We've got to focus the American people's attention on this crisis. And that's what the forum tomorrow is all about. That's what the wonderful staff of the Joint Economic Committee did. They found the data, they put it on paper, and now we've got to act.
So let me ask this question before we have to go to break here, and I appreciate you all coming to Baltimore tomorrow, and I hope that we can run down at the end of that and see what you all are doing. But I just very quick question here, just a little outside the box. Given everything we've been talking about today, the horror of what happened in Charleston, South Carolina, does Congress need to have a conversation about race? Do you all need to have a conversation with some of your colleagues about race in Congress to get people to begin to wrestle with things they might be afraid to wrestle with?
I think we all need to be addressing the question of race and talking about it. When I think about what happened here with this gentleman, I refuse to say his name because I think that's one of the things he was looking for,
Yep. Publicity.
But when you can walk into an African-American church, and keep in mind, I am the son of two preachers, both from South Carolina. Walk in a church on a Bible study night. Now, let me tell you something about Bible study real quick. Those are people who are really into their religion, okay? To be on a Wednesday night on sitting in Bible study and to walk in there and sit there for an hour and then put down a Bible and pick up a gun and then to spew the hatred that he spewed out. And I'm convinced that there's a climate that is in our country. Keep in mind that sort of makes these things, make people feel comfortable doing them, I guess. You never know what little things have big results. In other words, you know, think about it. Joe Wilson, when the president was speaking at the State of the Union a few years ago, says, "You liar." I mean, you got to have a certain level of civility, but you also have to have respect. And I think, and we're seeing more and more, we learned today that this conservative group where the assailant got a lot of his information from, were giving the leader of that group was giving campaign contributions to Cruz, to Paul, presidential candidates Paul, Cruz, and others, and Santorum. I mean, you have to wonder, what is this all about? So, yeah, we do need a discussion about race. But more significantly, we also have to begin to do policy that says that we are all one. We are one nation and not divided. So we definitely do.
Yeah, Mark, since the senseless shootings last Wednesday night, the Congressional Black Caucus has just been riveted. We've been engaged. We've been talking daily. Congressman Jim Clyburn is on the ground, and he's feeding me 2 and 3 reports each day. I've received one this morning. I've talked to the funeral director this morning. We are fully engaged in this issue. But this, my friends, is about more than a depraved man walking into a church and pulling a trigger.
Right.
It's greater and it's broader and it's deeper than that. The Confederate flag. Let's start with the Confederate flag. And I know we're running out of time, but let's start with the Confederate flag. We all know that flags are symbols. In every state, every nation, the flag is a symbol of your cause, of your beliefs, of your ideology. The Confederate flag continues to hang on the Capitol grounds in South Carolina. It's an absolute insult, but it also is a license for those who are bigots to do even more and to go to the extremes that we saw the other night. The Confederate flag must come down. We must try to reason with leaders in South Carolina to take it down, but it must become a national movement. And remember that this, and I agree with Mr. Cummings, I'm not going to call him by name, the defendant has raised over $900,000 online in his defense since these events on Wednesday night. And so this is white supremacy. We saw it during Reconstruction. We saw it during Jim Crow. It's less now than it ever has been, but it's still alive. And we've got to root it out. And black, white, and brown citizens working together must make it happen.
And Congresswoman, we really only have a couple minutes left, but I'd like to get a thought on that from you as well.
Well, I think what we tried to do in the committee is to get hard data that proved the case. And it's time to acknowledge the truth that was revealed in this data. And it basically said that America is still not the land of equal opportunity for all. And if we confront that reality based on the data, maybe these numbers that we see that are, in my opinion, truly startling and will galvanize us to work together and to change so that the American dream can be available for everyone through housing and education and real equal opportunity. These numbers show that there's not real equal opportunity. And we hope to build on these numbers and build a case and build support for meaningful legislation for change.
And very quickly, Elijah, where is it tomorrow? Give that time and time and place again.
Yes, at the Learning Commons. It's the University of Baltimore. And all they got to do, Mark, is give my office a call, 410-685-9199, 410-685-9199. That's on Mount Royal. So we'll be able to give them all the information they need, 410-685-9199.
And that's tomorrow, 9:30, at University of Baltimore. You should
Learning Commons.
You can participate. Please do. You just heard the voice of Congressman Elijah Cummings, who represents our 7th District here in Baltimore City, and joined by Congresswoman Carolyn Maloney, who represents the 12th District in New York and is ranking Democrat in the Joint Economic Committee, and Congressman G.K. Butterfield of the 1st District in North Carolina. He's also chair of the Congressional Black Caucus. Thank the three of you so much for the work you do and for joining us here today on the Mark Steiner Show. Welcome to Baltimore to our outlying congressman.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you all.
Bye-bye.
Taking a very brief break here and coming right back with our dear friend Leah Gilmore coming into the house. Stay with us.
To the seats with the clearest view, and she's hooked to the silver screen.